Chapter 1. I feel confident that through the long annals of human history, plenty of people have regretted not making a greater effort to understand someone they loved. If they lose that someone and have to live with the regret, it is a pain that never leaves them. However, I doubt many regretted it more than I. What? You see, I never knew what meant. I was just standing there doing nothing, looking at Beth. Beth was the woman I once loved. I loved her so much I took her completely for granted. In that particular behavioural failure, I don't think I stand out. I was just a bloke. She was just Beth. She was always there. I didn't have to think about it. Her, the relationship, all that stuff. I never thought about it at all. Beth just was. So I was standing there looking at Beth for, I wish to point out, entirely romantic as opposed to lustful reasons. I hadn't said anything, and yet suddenly I was being snapped at. I liked looking at Beth. I loved her, and looking at her was one way I indulged in that love. I didn't understand why this particular, essentially inoffensive word, what, had been spat at me. It seems a long time ago now. In fact, it is an absurdly long time ago. I was so young, but at the time I genuinely believed I was old and past it. And yet I'd seen a mere 33 summers pass me by. I had managed to cram quite a lot of achievement in those few years. Much study, much travel, much incredible luck, really. I'm an engineer and self-confessed gadget freak. It's true that back then I had very short hair, because I was experiencing early-onset male pattern baldness. However, unlike many of my generation, I was very slim, almost skinny. I didn't work out or go jogging or follow some quirky neurotic diet. It was just the way I was wired. I was wound so tightly, according to Beth, my body virtually vibrated with energy. I twitched and fiddled away any possible weight gain as I sat in front of my numerous computer screens. So there I was, standing in the doorway of our new-built home in a quiet cul-de-sac that had once been an orchard on the edge of the village of Kingham in Oxfordshire. Yes, Kingham. Voted England's friendliest village in 2008. I wasn't aware of this. Apparently there was a sign announcing the award on the way into the village, but I'd never noticed it. Even if I had been aware of it, I wouldn't have paid much attention. My mind, basically, was elsewhere. I now understand that this attribute was the source of the what problem. The what had been delivered by Beth Harris, who was, back then, my wife. We had been together for 5 years, the entire time spent in this small, tidy, and easy-to-manage house. It was nothing spectacular, but it was fine. We owned it outright, and we didn't even need a mortgage. I'd sold some shares in a company I'd helped set up, and I had the cash. The deeds of the house were in both our names, a fact that I was uniquely uninterested in, but Beth thought we needed to talk about it. But I found that once things were sorted out, like the ownership of the house, I didn't really want to think about them again. I certainly didn't want to talk about them again. I had nothing to say, so I listened as best I could. I barely understood a word she was saying. Beth was 32 years old then, a history teacher at the nearby Kingham Hill Private School. Lovely Beth. She was a woman of bubbly and bright disposition. I think that's a fair description. If she'd been murdered, that would have been what some lazy hack would have written about her in the newspapers. Don't worry, she wasn't murdered. She died in her sleep at the age of 98. Lovely Beth. However, when I was standing in the kitchen doorway, she did not have a bubbly and bright disposition. What do you expect? She spat. Amazing how you can make a simple question like that so full of venom and bitter history. I don't expect anything. I don't expect anything. When have I ever expected anything? I said. I remember my voice going a little squeaky mid-sentence, and I found that rather annoying. You expect me to be here when you get back, which is very bloody rarely. Beth wasn't looking at me as she spoke. She was looking at our small garden, which backed onto an 18th century barn that had been converted into what Beth once described as a lovely, spacious home. A home in which Beth did not live. A home in which she desperately, fanatically wanted to live. Beth had even managed to communicate to me that she hated modern houses. She had, apparently, always wanted to live in a converted barn. I knew this. Somewhere I knew it. Although at the time I was standing in the doorway, I wasn't thinking about it. We'd rowed about it before. There was a time when we could have afforded to buy the ridiculously expensive barn conversion, but I didn't like it. The floors were wobbly, not good for tables with more than three legs. The interior stone walls were bare, and bits of grit were always falling off. Not good for computers. There's generally a bit of backstory in any relationship that's been lived in a few years. Unresolved conflicts build up like fluff around a cooling fan. Beth and I had been together for 5 years and we created a comfortably large clot of fluff. The cooling fan was essentially not functioning. The motherboard, if we're going to stick with this particular analogy, the motherboard was overheating. Modern house, old house, private school, state school, science, religion, working overseas, working up the lane. Essentially, none of it was functioning efficiently, although I had no idea this was the case. As far as I was concerned, it was all fine. Beth turned to face me. Her face was red and slightly swollen. And I remember then I felt a sudden urge to comfort her, but her clenched fists warned me away. I may have been a nerd, an engineer, a gadget fanatic, and was generally considered to be a little insensitive, but even I could read this body language.
You're never here, and even when you are here, you're always sat in front of a screen. We never talk.
We're talking now, I said, almost pleadingly.
Oh, shut up, Gavin, you know what I mean.
I don't. It was true, I really didn't. So Beth sighed in a big, dramatic way, looked at the floor, and took another deep breath.
It feels like, okay, it feels like I'm here all the time, I go to work, I come back, nothing, there's no one here.
She stared at me with nothing but hatred in her slightly red eyes. I couldn't understand. What was there to be angry about? That sounded great to me.
I'm lonely, Gavin, there's no one to talk to.
Okay, that was news. I was hearing that. I'd heard it before from other people, and I found it very hard to understand. Loneliness. I didn't know what that felt like. I've always found my own company very stimulating.
When you do come home, I'm pleased. I'm such an idiot. I'm pleased because I'll have some company. But you're always up in the top room with your poxy computers doing God knows what.
I shrugged and smiled. Yeah, I do this crazy hobby thing called working for a living, paying the bills, etc. I should not have said that. It was childish, but she was getting on my nerves.
Oh, piss off, Gavin. All I want to do today, when I got back from church, was go to the farmer's market in Chipping Norton.
The farmer's market?
I told you about it. I emailed you that it was half term and I could go with you, maybe go to a nice pub for lunch, spend some nice time together.
You emailed me, I questioned. Did you put it in the diary? That was another big mistake. Beth had trouble remembering to put stuff in our joint Google diary. I was always updating it. It was a shared diary. She had the login details. It wasn't exactly hard. It was the quickest and simplest way of telling her my entire minute-by-minute schedule for the next 3 months.
I don't think she ever used it. Such a good service too. So easy to use and free.
I thought she'd like that. But no.
That's what I wanted to do, she shouted.
The shouting thing really wasn't necessary. Our house is very small. I could have heard her even if she whispered.
What are you doing flying in your stupid little plane to blasted Basingstoke to go and talk with some other engineers who no doubt have a poor idiot woman at home going equally barking mad?
I stood there shaking my head. I'm not going to lie to you, Bethington. This was my affectionate term for her, one that she'd never complained about. But even my emotionally unconnected self registered that this was probably not an appropriate time to use it.
Look, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to cause a row, but I truly have no idea what you're talking about. Nothing you've said makes any sense to me.
You bastard, said Beth. I smiled and shook my head again. I've been called worse plenty of times.
What am I supposed to do?
I asked slowly, as if I were talking to a child.
I'm working on the biggest project I've ever worked on. It's a huge collaborative effort spanning 5 countries and over 100 engineers, and I'm part of the team that's running the whole thing.
Do I text them and say, "You can't make the meeting today, I've got to go to the farmer's market"? I made texting thumb movements as I spoke. Not just a sporadic mime, either. I would say pretty darn accurate double thumb movements, because in my mind I was using an Android open-source phone with an on-screen keyboard. It was rapidly apparent that Beth wasn't interested or even aware of the subtlety of my mimetic skills.
Piss off, was the review of said skills, and Beth stormed out of the kitchen.
I sneered after her. I was surprised how easy it was to go off people. I'd gone right off Beth. I picked up my bag, slung it over my shoulder, and left the house. Really, I left. That was it.